This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. James Jones made a living as a farmer in rural Northampton County, and he made a legacy standing up to racism and fighting for equal education. After the Brown versus Board of Education decision, Northampton County refused to integrate its schools, and African-American students in the struggle, they struggled from a lack of funding. So James knocked on the school board's door and demanded change. He joined the County Board of Education. He helped them desegregate the schools, eventually became the first black school board chairman in North Carolina. His work is featured in the documentary Chairman Jones, An Improbable Leader. And joining me now is Anna Jones. She is James's daughter and the director of the documentary. Anna, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
What a remarkable story. Tell me about your father's upbringing.
Well, my father was born in 1916 on a former slave plantation in Northampton County. It was called Longview. He was born there and into a family of sharecroppers. In 1940, his mom passed away, and he took on the responsibility for running the farm and taking care of his younger brothers and sisters. His father had been educated there on Longview, so he was spending his days and nights running the cotton gin on Longview. And my father was forced to drop out of school in the seventh grade to work in the fields. So he married my mother in 1941, and his own mother died in 1940. I think he made a decision that he was not going to raise any more sharecroppers on Longview. So my mom was pregnant with my oldest brother, and my father made the decision to leave against his father's wishes, against the Longs' wishes, but he struck out on his own. Went to another neighboring farm, still sharecropping some, but he was able to rent a few acres of his own, which gave him a little glimpse of independence.
Yeah, that's critical. I mean, talk about the difference between the amount of sovereignty he had over his time and the independence that he had as a renter versus a sharecropper.
Okay, when you're a sharecropper, you have no independence. The landowner makes the decisions about everything, even whether your children can go to school or not. So once he was able to get a little bit of land to rent, he had dominion over those acres so he could make his own decisions. Although he was still sharecropping over here on the one side, he was renting on the other side, and that gave him a bit more of a voice.
You talked to a woman named Edna W. Mooney, who grew up in Northampton, and she talks about access to education and how apparent that was, the inequality, to anyone who was a sharecropper.
I didn't like the idea that a white man could drive his truck up to the school door and I had to be carted off to go work in the fields while his children stayed in school.
There it is, Edna W. Mooney from Northampton County, from the documentary Chairman Jones, An Improbable Leader, that screens this Saturday in Fayetteville as part of the Indigo Moon Film Festival. And my guest is the director, Anna Jones. So this is something that your father saw and clearly meant something to him. He starts renting land. Tell us about then his engagement with the school board and his decision to fight for equal education.
Well, after Northampton County refused to follow Brown versus Board, a judge in eastern North Carolina ordered Northampton County to come up with a plan for integrating the schools. Mm. Well, they didn't engage with the black community at all. So the white community, the white school board, was making decisions about integration without contacting the black leaders. They were reading about it in the newspaper. So my father and a couple of other of his constituents went to the school board and demanded to be heard. And then they demanded to have a voice, at least operate as an advisory committee, sitting at the table when the planning is being done. You see, the school system was 75% black, 25% white. And my father said, well, you know, I need to know what's going on when you're making these decisions behind this door. So he couldn't be there in a formal way because he couldn't get elected to the board. But at least they could be there in an informal way as an advisory committee. And they came up with a plan for how to integrate the schools.
Let's talk about the steps along the way, because eventually your father did buy a farm, right? So in 1958?
Yes, he did.
So now he's a landowner. He becomes a deacon in his church and a leader in the community. And at some point, a PTA president, right?
That's right. After Brown versus Board, Northampton County's position was, well, we are following Plessy versus Ferguson, which separate but equal.
Right.
So they had built this school in 1957, Squire Elementary School. School was inadequate when they built it. No cafeteria, no library, no resources to speak of. Right. My father became the PTA president. All right, that school was a consolidation of several two-room schools. So all of a sudden, he's a PTA president. So he's got a large constituency of black people. So now he can start organizing and make some things happen.
So now he's speaking, yeah, again, he's speaking for people. He's a landowner, which puts him on a slightly different footing, did it not, in terms of, because it's a rural community, and everybody who is making their living white and black in farming one way or another. So there was a certain common ground, although by no means equal, among the people who lived in that county.
That's right. You had to have some land. If you didn't have land, you didn't have a voice. And so, you know, when my father was able to buy his own farm, it made all the difference in the world. You know, now you are a landowner in Northampton County where land is king.
And he's got a constituency, and he can organize as a PTA leader, as you say, with a much larger constituency than independent little two-room schools all throughout the county. It's one constituency. But even so, not recognized at this point by the white leadership in the county, how is he able to gain even any kind of access in a county where they were going to honor Plessy versus Ferguson even after the Supreme Court ruled it out?
Well, they are all farmers, you know. And so, you know, in a community where you have farmers, they're dependent on each other. You know, if you have boll weevils on your cotton, I'm going to have boll weevils in my cotton if I'm next door. So on some level, farmers worked together. And I believe that part of how my father was successful in Northampton County was that he had now broken into the farming network as a farmer, not as a sharecropper. And so now he has a different voice.
Yeah, you talk to, in your documentary, you talk to a man named Marshall Grant, who worked with James Jones. He's a white farmer in Northampton County.
And when there was a problem, we talked with each other about it because we helped each other. Me being a conservative Republican and him a liberal Democrat had nothing to do with the needs of what we need to do to make our community a better place to live.
That's a clip of Northampton County resident Marshall Grant from the documentary Chairman Jones, an Improbable Leader, that screens this Saturday in Fayetteville as part of the Indigo Moon Film Festival. And my guest is the director, Anna Jones, who is also the daughter of James Jones. So now what happens? He's got a voice. They're talking to him. And eventually he actually makes his way to the school board. But this is part of another organizing effort on his part, organizing African-Americans to vote.
That's right. They went on these campaigns to get black people to vote. But even so, my father ran twice, and he lost twice. So there was a young white lawyer who wanted to go to the state legislature. He had taken Northampton County's case to court, refusing to follow Brown versus Board. And of course he lost. He knew he was going to lose. But anyway, so the white people were upset with him. He had lost the case. So they shunned him. So he had made a statement in the newspaper that he didn't need white votes, that he could get elected by blacks and women supporting him. So he met with my father and a group of men called the Ten. The Ten was a secret group of black men who were organized to strategize on political kinds of things in Northampton County. And he promised them that if they got out the black vote for him, and got him to Raleigh, when he got there, that he would change the number of school board members in Northampton County from 5 to 7, and that he would appoint James Jones to the school board. He went. They did it. They got out to vote for him. He went to Raleigh. He did exactly what he said. He changed the number from 5 to 7. He named my father to the school board, and he named a white woman, Mrs. Roy Parker, to the school board.
So this is fascinating. We have to stop right here and point and just remind us of all the things that happened. This is not about someone who is just simply shaking a fist and demanding to be heard. This is somebody who has laid the groundwork, earning money as a renter, taking the money to buy land, now as a landowner, gaining a voice, organizing, doing something very dangerous. We didn't even talk about the danger of organizing black people to vote in Northampton County back then. That had to be very dangerous. But once you have that kind of power, you're suddenly plugged into the system. And the white guy who took the case against your people to court says, well, now that you've got some power, let's talk. And they did. And that's how he finds himself on the board of the school board.
Yes. He believed in working across aisles, across cultures, across, you know, ethnicities, everything. He just believed in, you know, doing what was right and doing what was fair, and everybody needs to be at the table.
But also the fighting against voter suppression, which is again in the news. I mean, the effort to suppress the black vote was what allowed that white supremacist idea of separate but equal to survive even past the court decision.
Oh, absolutely.
So he had to work against voter suppression in order to get any kind of traction against injustice.
And also that sharecropping system.
Right.
Because black people couldn't go to vote unless the landowner said that he or she could.
So all of that happens, and now he's on the school board. So what happens next?
Okay, he's on the school board, and eventually the school board goes from majority white to, well, let me back up.
Yeah.
He's on the school board. School board's majority white. He's just the lone person in the boardroom. All right, the battle was taking place in the boardroom because we're still battling this integration issue. Somehow, he's able to work the board so that they come around to doing what he would say, what is fair and what is right for everybody. How he did it, I don't know. I think that, you know, he stepped out on faith, and I think that you had these farmers and you had these people who also professed to be Christians. And so I think between the two of those, that he was able to convince them that, hey, we need to do what is right, you know, and what is fair. And he believed in compromise. He wouldn't compromise on principle, but he would compromise on tactics. And I think that made a big difference.
And so what happened eventually?
Okay. Eventually, they were able to work together, get the schools integrated. He and his constituents had put together a plan. They submitted the plan to the board. The board submitted the plan to the judge, but they had added freedom of choice to it, which was a problem because the judge kicked it back.
Tell us what freedom of choice did.
Okay. Freedom of choice was North Carolina's approach to integration. People could choose where they went to school.
Yeah, I love the way they use that word freedom to.
Right.
To
but no black people, no white people were going to black schools. Right. Very few black children right. went to white schools.
Right. So this is a way to maintain segregation. Use the word freedom, but it meant that essentially you didn't have to integrate.
That's right.
And it's interesting because your father led that the fight. He felt that to some extent it was important to not accept that.
Oh, that's right. He thought it was designed to fail anyway. And so he said, somebody has to go first. So he sent my brother Wayne to Gaston High School.
To integrate the
school. To integrate the school.
Well, you talked to your brother, and I'm glad that you're talking. and here he is in your documentary talking about his role in that integration effort.
I believe I did my part to go into that environment and to stake out a claim to our right, our meaning black people, our right to the same education that everyone else had.
That's Wayne Jones in the documentary Chairman Jones, an improbable leader that screens Saturday in Fayetteville as part of the Indigo Moon Film Festival. James Jones' daughter and the director of the film, Anna Jones, is with me. So that's another leadership step. In other words, if you're going to, you'll be the first to fight and you have to offer something of your own.
Well, yeah. If his children aren't going, how is he going to ask somebody else to send theirs?
So what happens next? Now, as you say, the freedom of choice, the so-called freedom of choice, was added to this thing, this plan to desegregate the schools, and the judge kicked it back, right?
Mm-hmm. And so eventually, the plan that was submitted was a geographic plan. The school board added freedom of choice within the geographic plan. So eventually, the judge kicks out all of the freedom of choice stuff. And so the plan that my father and his people had put together was a plan that was finally accepted anyway.
And what happens next for him?
What happens
for your father? What happens next after that great
okay.
success?
Now, eventually, you know, the school board goes from majority black to majority, from majority white to majority black. My father becomes the first black chairman of a school system in North Carolina. And he then brings in Dr. Willis McLeod, who is the first black school board superintendent, school superintendent in Northampton County. So together, they work to finish dismantling all the vestiges of segregation and get the schools accredited, because the schools had never been accredited in Northampton County.
You talked to Willis McLeod, too, about your father's legacy. Let's listen.
James Young never sought the spotlight. Spotlight found him. Spotlight found him through the issues for which he fought and the difficult times. The times that he had to be a trailblazer. See, the man was a trailblazer. He was a Daniel Boone. He cut through the briars and the brambles of racism in Northampton County.
A clip from Northampton County Superintendent Willis McLeod from the documentary Chairman Jones, an Improbable Leader, that screened Saturday in Fayetteville as part of the Indigo Moon Film Festival. Director Anna Jones is with me today. So many important, and again, some of the submerged elements of racism, the denial of access to credit, the denial of ownership, the denial of the right to vote, all of those things that are under the surface that keep the system working the way it was. Each one of those, your father sort of just marched through and got himself to a position of power.
Well, it was a long journey, you know, and the way I saw it, it was a strategy. They had to start from zero. They had to get the right to vote. Then they had to convince black people to vote. Then, you know, and then black people had to get from under sharecropping. And finally, you know, they were able to make some inroads into getting things done in Northampton County.
How do you see things today? I mean, that was a great story in Northampton County, but we see reports and some fears and anxiety that things are slipping back slowly.
Well, and I agree with that. I mean, I just wish that we could, you know, as Mr. Marshall Grant said, with him being a conservative Republican and my father being a liberal Democrat, had nothing to do with anything. It was the needs of their community that took precedence over everything else. And if we could get back to that across cultures, across ethnicities, across these political ideologies and all of that, I think that we could be a much better state, much better country. We are right now.
You've been showing this film around the country and around the world. What kind of reaction are you getting?
I have very, very positive, very, very positive reaction. Actually, in May, my film screened in Berlin, Germany, and won an award for best historical film on the black experience and other festivals around in North Carolina. And then the one in Indigo Moon that's coming up in Fayetteville, you know, tickets can be purchased at Indigo Moon. festival.com. Mm-hmm. So I hope that people will support it.
Yeah. Well, Anna Jones is the director of the documentary Chairman Jones, an Improbable Leader, that does screen Saturday at the Cameo Art House Theater in Fayetteville. It is part of the Indigo Moon Festival, and you can get all the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Thanks for joining us, Anna.
Thank you.
Just ahead, when you picture a mime, you are probably picturing Marcel Marceau. We'll talk about his life with an author who has looked deeply into the life of Marcel Marceau on The State of Things. Stay with us.